Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true transparency pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Lauren on Twitter, man, 3HL. NHL, NBA playoffs going on. I've been listening for 20 minutes, haven't heard a single word about sports. There's that guy. We literally spent an hour and 15 on the Preds, 45 on the NFL draft, 15 more on the Preds, and then NFL cheerleader topic.
For 6 or 7.
So, Lauren, thank you very much for listening, and we appreciate the input on Twitter. We'll have a meeting and discuss. Maybe we should do the show as you want. Todd Furman is talking sports now, right, Todd?
Well, if we're not talking sports, it's going to be really tough to fill 8 to 10 minutes of airtime because my personal life really isn't all that exciting.
I was just talking about how you were a stud goalie back in the day.
Your definition of stud, Don, might be a lot different than the rest of the universe at this current juncture. But, you know, I had a cup of coffee at the collegiate level, albeit Division III. But I do hold a couple of records from my time playing in New England at prep school. Broke a New England record for goals against average in a season. Broke a record for shots faced, shots stopped. But was able to realize some individual accolades despite playing for a winless team my senior year.
I was going to say, nobody's good in front of you. Shots faced record.
it was absolutely brutal. And Brent, I kid you not, like when you go through shaking hands at the end of each game, it wasn't quite like the NHL at the end of a playoff series. You had coaches actually apologize. They're like, I'm sorry you had to go through what you did. There was one game against our rival. We were getting outshot 62-6 after two periods. I physically couldn't get up from the bench in between periods and kind of turned it over. We were only down 1-0, but when you score 7 goals in 11 league games, it doesn't actually bode real well for wins and losses.
Wow.
Todd Furman on Twitter for a specific question for him. Hey, Todd, I'm curious. Colorado has scored on their first shot attempt in game 1 and 2. They scored on their second shot attempt in game 3. What would you set the over-under first goal on which shot attempt?
Well, I was going to say Pekka was pretty sharp in game 3 because he did stop the first shot before he allowed Colorado to get another 1-0 lead. I'm going to be real aggressive and say that Nashville gets out of the first period tonight at the Pepsi Center unscathed. I think Pekka getting pulled after giving up 4 goals in a game where Colorado had to salvage their season. You're going to see him look a little bit better between the pipes, and you're going to see a much more concerted effort from Nashville as a team committing to the defensive end, because you can't keep getting down 1-0. I know it's against inferior competition in Colorado, but if this were to continue against the Jets or deeper into the playoffs, it doesn't bode well for another Stanley Cup run.
Preds favored tonight?
They are. They're actually a pretty heavy favorite, all things considered. Number opened with them about $1.70 favorite, meaning you put up $1.70 to make a dollar. That number's actually come down a little bit to $1.55, but I think when you look at the prices in this series, you've seen money from professionals trying to take a stab with Colorado every chance they get. And I actually think Nashville realizes that tonight is basically their opportunity to put a stranglehold in this series. You'd love to win here, return to Bridgestone up 3-1, and not have to make that return trip to altitude, because you have to think Winnipeg closes out Minnesota in 5.
Just when everybody in Nashville thinks you hate all of their sports teams, you pick the Preds tonight.
You know what? I don't hate all of their teams. I come at it through an objective lens. It's not my fault that the Tennessee Titans defense leaves a lot to be desired. Vanderbilt football is what it is. And until you guys, you know, start playing MLS at the highest level or you get your professional baseball team, I can't take shots at those teams as well.
It seems like your Vegas crew and Preds are now the co-favorites. This is according to the Westgate Sportsbook.
They are indeed that case, and I can tell you, with every win for the Golden Knights, it's a longer and longer sleepless evening for sportsbook operators that are staring down the barrel of prospects, having to pay out large sums to folks that wanted to back the Golden Knights with reckless abandon before the season started. But when you talk about Nashville, I still think that their roster composition puts them in much better standing to win a variety of series than the Golden Knights. And when you look at the Preds, 4-1 the going rate there. You have the Golden Knights also priced at 4-1, Winnipeg right behind them at 6, and a trio of teams in the East relatively bunched together in the form of Tampa, Pittsburgh, and of course the Boston Bruins.
Who do you think the best team is in the East?
I actually think Boston, because when I look at this Bruins team, I really believe they can play a number of different ways. They can beat you high-scoring games. We've seen David Pastrnak go absolutely bonkers the first two games played at home. But the Bruins' calling card has always been their commitment on the blue line, and Tuukka Rask more than capable of stealing a game. It's hard to go against a two-time defending Stanley Cup champion in the Pittsburgh Penguins, but I really believe Matt Murray is the X-factor, and unlike each of the last 2 years where they could flip from Murray to Fleury and back and forth, you don't have that luxury. So I think Pittsburgh is a team that's most vulnerable. Really believe whoever wins that Tampa-Boston series ultimately represents the Eastern Conference.
I've really enjoyed the Capitals-Blue Jackets series. That seems destined for seven to me.
It's one of the only series where we've actually seen that playoff drama. Three games going to overtime. Yeah. What was interesting in game three was you had Columbus open a relatively sizable favorite. Washington actually closed the favorite, so professional money that came in on the dog was rewarded. And you have to imagine Braden Holtby, who didn't get the start in game one and two in favor of Michael Grubauer, has given them an extra shot of adrenaline. Now with the series 2-1, I actually think there's more pressure on the Blue Jackets to kind of at least get a split at Nationwide Arena.
Moving over to NBA playoffs a little bit. You know, people say we don't talk NBA enough.
Oh, that guy said
show.
We don't talk about that. You can't talk about that.
Yeah, we don't talk enough NBA. So let's hit the NBA playoffs. Celtics, Pelicans, Raptors, 2-0 leads right now.
Really boring.
Yeah, it seems like. I mean, I know that's,
Greek freak,
I know that's awful, but
yeah.
It seems like the series right now are kind of meh.
Well, I think when we look at the opening round of the NBA playoffs, it really hasn't given us a ton of drama in recent memory, Don. This year, a few more intriguing series when you have the Pelicans go on the road and win both games, erasing that deficit late last night. They've gone from about a $2 underdog in the series to now an overwhelming $5 favorite. Of course, the Heat, who looked like they weren't going to be able to compete when you watch the second half of game one, get that big road split. That series much more of a coin flip than it was going in. And I still don't believe the Bucks are truly dead and buried. I mean, they're massive favorites in game three, much more talented roster. But the best analogy I've seen for this series came from my podcast co-host, Payne Insider, who said, you're looking at this matchup where Brad Stevens is the CEO and Joe Prunty is like the custodian janitor. He's going to need to put together his best series with X's and O's if the Bucks were going to have a shot to beat the Celtics, despite having better talent.
I mean, go ahead.
I was going to say, does LeBron just come out tonight and just go buck wild?
I mean, I think LeBron is going to do what LeBron does, but he's going to need a supporting cast to step up. It almost appeared that the moment was too big for Roddy Hood and Jordan Clarkson in game one. Kevin Love hit the offensive glass, but was really an afterthought in terms of scoring. And LeBron, one of the quieter triple-doubles you're going to see in an 18-point defeat. This number suggests that Cleveland wins and wins comfortably, but the Pacers aren't going to be intimidated. And I think unless LeBron can play all five positions, this game may be a little bit closer than the number indicates, despite it opening Cleveland minus seven and ticking out to Cleveland minus seven.
Well, I mean, the answer to that is yes, he can play all five
positions. One time.
True, not at one time. That would be a pretty impressive feat if LeBron decides he wants to go full one-on-five against the Pacers tonight.
Cleveland a 7.5-point favorite, though, tonight. Do you anticipate this series going deep?
I think it's going to go deeper than I originally expected. I thought that Cleveland had a chance to close this thing out in six. Victor Oladipo has shown he's going to be a nightmare matchup problem for Cleveland, so they'll have to make adjustments. But I don't think it's time to hit the panic button just yet. This is a Cleveland team who has another gear. And LeBron James came out and said it. He said, we spent so much time trying to figure out what we had during the regular season that guys maybe didn't click the sense of urgency you need to try and win in the playoffs. So I think we're in for a little bit of entertainment. Tonight's game, maybe not that competitive, but the series I think bears plenty of watching will be Utah-Oklahoma City when you consider the fact that both the Thunder and Utah have key cogs and Paul George and Donovan Mitchell banged up. So we'll see if we get anything close to 100% from those two.
Hey, about a week out from the NFL draft, who do you think right now goes first overall? And I will ask you this, how many quarterbacks ultimately do you think go in the first round?
Well, it's interesting because if you believe some of these so-called draft experts who have the inside track and put together their mocks, they seem to make the case that Josh Allen is going to be the number one overall pick. Now, if we listen to what the money tells us, that's a very different storyline because Sam Darnold is actually a heavy favorite to be the first pick in the draft. So you have two different narratives there. I think that Sam Darnold will ultimately be the number one pick because of the versatility and some of his flexibility in terms of the offenses he can play in, whereas Hugh Jackson, you know, may get outvoted as far as getting Josh Allen, who probably has the most raw talent. Over-under number of quarterbacks that'll go in the first round, I think five and a half, the fair price. When you look at that, we know that Josh Allen, Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, and Baker Mayfield are four that you can already pencil in. Lamar Jackson, I think, goes towards the tail end of the first round, and it begs the question, if that number's 5.5, does Mason Rudolph or Luke Falk come off the board? So I'm going to say 5 is the exact number that we see go in the opening round.
Good stuff, Todd. You got a podcast you want to direct people towards?
Nothing live right now. Okay. We're still debating if we'll have a draft edition. I'll make sure to plug that next Wednesday in the same time. But I'm glad we were able to at least appease the listeners and talk sports for a few minutes before the three of you go on to talking about reality, TV, politics, and everything else you use to fill your normal time slot.
You should call your podcast the Toddcast.
That's my cue to leave, right?
Well, in this, if Nashville does play Vegas, we're going to be calling in some favors when we make our way out there.
Yeah, we can work on some things as long as you're willing to reciprocate and get me into Bridgestone. Because from what I've read and seen, you can't buy tickets unless you reside in a certain geographic area. So I'm going to need all my inside intel and advance pull so I can don Golden Knights gear inside the arena.
Well, that's wrong answer.
Well, you know what? Hold on a second.
You started to have me, but...
Well, yeah. Before you let me go, I would be able to wear my Predators hoodie, but Dawn's been a little bit delinquent in making good on the wager we made, so I figure that's the perfect time to take my shot.
Well, she did call you a stud goalie, though.
Yeah, I made up for it.
I appreciate that, because nobody else will echo those same sentiments.
Thank you, Todd. Appreciate it, man.